One of the great gifts and responsibilities that I have as a priest is every day I read a liturgy of the hours called the Office of Readings. And in the Office of Readings, there's always a second reading that is by a Christian writer, often from an early century in the church's life. And the other day, that second reading was by someone that is not well known. His name is Saint Ephrem, the deacon. He originated from Syria. And if any of you know Father Ephrem, who's just one of the most loving, kind people in the world, I sort of think of Father Ephrem when I think of Deacon Ephrem, the fourth century writer. Well, the other day when we had this reading from him, it was this amazing homily on the reality of the resurrection. And I want to share part of St. Ephrem's homily with you this morning. So he writes the following. At length, death came upon Eve, the mother of all the living. She was that vineyard whose enclosure her own hands had enabled death to violate, so that she could taste its fruit. Thus, the mother of all the living became the source of death for every living creature. So there's a play on words here that the word Eve, the name Eve, means mother of all the living. And Deacon Ephrem says that she became the mother of all the dying. And then he talks about Eve being this incredible vine that is enclosed in a vineyard. But he then says her own hands had enabled death to violate. And remember, Adam is complicit in this as well, that Eve often gets the bad rap, and Adam's just over there in the corner running his own business, but he's as complicit as she is. And the point here is that, in a sense, they opened up their hands, and death came in. What we think about when we think about death is it's a bitter fruit. And here, Eve and Adam's choice opened the paradise to death's wasting disease. So having talked about Eve and implicitly referring to Adam, Deacon Ephrem goes on to talk about another couple. But in her stead, Mary grew up, a new vine in place of the old Christ. The new life dwelt within her. And so he's carrying on this imagery of the vine. But now he says Mary is this new vine that has grown up in place of the old. And at the very heart of this vine is the one who is life himself, Jesus Christ. But then he goes on to talk about how death attempts to destroy Mary and Jesus. And this is what Deacon Ephrem writes. When death, with its customary impudence, came foraging for her mortal fruit, it encouraged its own destruction in the hidden life that fruit contained. All unsuspecting, it swallowed him up, and in so doing released life itself to set free a multitude of men. And so you have this image of death coming and looking to devour Mary, to devour Jesus. But at that very moment when death wants to devour, death is swallowed up. And then Ephrem says, and so life itself set free a multitude of men. Now think of that word multitude. And now think of our reading that we had from Revelation chapter 7. And after this I looked, and there was a great multitude in heaven that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples, languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. You know, some people say, we have no idea what heaven's like. They've not read Revelation chapter 7. This is what heaven is. A great multitude. It's Catholic. They're from all over the world. And what are they doing? They are all before the Lamb. And then St. John goes on to say, and listen carefully to this, who are these ones? John asks. And he's told they are the ones who have come out of the great ordeal. Isn't that an amazing way to describe this life? This life is the great ordeal. And the ones who are in heaven have come out of that ordeal. Now listen to how Ephraim, our deacon, describes the great ordeal. He who was also the carpenter's glorious son set up his cross above death's all-consuming jaws and led the human race into the dwelling place of life. Wow! The great ordeal are death's consuming jaws. But, says Ephraim, Jesus led those who were about to be taken into life. And then he says, since a tree had brought about the downfall of mankind, it was upon a tree, the tree of the cross, that mankind crossed over to the realm of life. Bitter was the branch that had once been grafted upon that ancient tree, but sweet the young shoot that has now been grafted in, the shoot in which we are meant to recognize the Lord, whom no creature can resist. This is beautiful writing. Let me just say a few of those words again. The carpenter's glorious son set up his cross above death's all-consuming jaws. It was upon a tree that mankind crossed over to the realm of life. Bitter the branch that once had been grafted upon that ancient tree. But listen to this. But sweet the young shoot that has been grafted in. You know, as I think about this amazing text, I think of those words that we heard from our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, where Barnabas and Paul encouraged the church at Antioch. And listen what they say. They say, continue, continue in the grace of God. And that's what life in this world is, my beloved. It's an opportunity for us to continue in the grace of God. And that's why this is Good Shepherd Sunday. And that's why I'm a priest. Because I am persona Christi. I am here in the person of Christ. And the thing that a priest needs to do above everything else as we live through the great ordeal is to say to you, do not give up. Continue in the grace of God. Continue in spite of death's all-consuming jaws to say, we will persevere. Because what is the reward of those who persevere? Well, St. John tells us in Revelation chapter 7. For we're told that he asks, so who are these? Who is this multitude? And he's told by the elder, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, what are the white robes? Revelation chapter 7 doesn't give us the answer. But if you go all the way over to Revelation chapter 19 at verse 8, we are told what the white robes represent. There we read, to her, and the her here is the church, to her it has been granted to be clothed, listen to this, with fine linen, bright and pure. And now we're told what the fine linen represents. The fine linen are the righteous deeds of the saints. Beautiful. Our life as we live through the great ordeal is to grow in righteousness. And that's another reason that a priest is here. That without a priest, Without the church, we cannot grow in righteousness. Because these robes are made white in what? The blood of the Lamb. What's the blood of the Lamb? It's the Eucharist. And so as we, day by day, week by week, continue to live with the jaws of death, just saying, I'm going to get you, we say, no, you're not. Because your poison cannot overcome the gift and the medicine of the blood of Christ. And so you see, we are a people who are a Eucharistic people. And out of the Eucharist, we are inspired to go out into the week that is before us. And whatever we face, whatever we come up against, we will not be defeated. We will not be discouraged. Because we understand that in the midst of this life, soon the ordeal is going to be over. I can't believe I am 58 years old. Where did the last 58 years go? But they have gone. And I think about this almost daily. I've maybe got 10, 15, 20, well, at best, 25 years left. And then I'm gone. And within 50 years, I'll be forgotten. But where am I going? Well, listen to what Revelation says is our destiny. So those who are dressed in white, who have fed on the Eucharist, we are told are before the throne of God, and they worship him day and night within his temple. What's the temple? The temple is heaven. And the one who is seated on the throne, this is God the Father, he will shelter them. And listen to this. They will hunger no more. They will thirst no more. The sun will not strike them by day. Now remember, this is St. John writing this. He's in his 80s. He's on the island of Patmos in the middle of the Mediterranean. Have you ever been to the Mediterranean in the summertime? Can you imagine what it would be like being in your 80s, working in a stone quarry at noon with the sun beating down on you? Talk about a great ordeal. But here, John says, as he sees heaven, the sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will shepherd them. And he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Do you believe this? This is the truth. This is the gospel. This is our destiny. And it's only when we can live with an understanding of our destiny that we could say with St. Ephrem, the carpenter's glorious son has set up his cross above death's all-consuming jaws. Here is our liberty. And at the center of that beautiful image of heaven is the Lamb who is the shepherd. And so this is what you and I are to be about in the years that are left for us in this world. Jesus tells us clearly in the gospel, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. Don't you have days when you wonder, is this all for real? Why am I living by faith? What's the purpose of my life? I'm going through so many challenges, so many difficulties. It just seems like one obstacle after another, after another. Of course there are. It's the great ordeal. The Bible is the most honest book in the world to tell us what this world is like. But the Bible is also the clearest book in the world to tell us how we can make it through. As we learn to listen to the voice of Jesus through our conscience, through those who love us, through the scripture and the tradition of the church called the deposit of faith, through your priests, through your friends. The shepherd, Jesus, gives us good food. That food is the Eucharist. And so in conclusion, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, what a privilege it is to be your shepherd. What a privilege it is for us to say, we will trust Jesus. We will live by faith. And one day we know that we will be raised up to join those who have come out of the great ordeal, so that our good deeds, infused by the grace of the Eucharist, will allow us to say, Amen. Death's jaws have been muzzled. The great ordeal is over, and the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ is fully realized. This is the resurrection gospel. This is the Catholic faith.